It's Memorial Day weekend, and guess what's in the box office this week? Solo, A Star Wars Story. Did I like it? Did I not? Stay tuned to find out. Yes, yes, yes. We don't have any music. I did a cold open. And now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should have because it's freaking Star Wars. But anyway, I am your host, Carla Renata. Thank you for tuning in to Black Tomatoes here at Black Hollywood Live. And my co-host is...
Scott Menzel. Lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you here and to be seen. So... let's just talk about Solo.
Okay, let's talk about it.
A Star Wars Story. I love, I'm a Star Wars fan. Star Wars, Star Trek, all of it. I love it. But Star Wars, I love it. And what I really love about some of the incarnations of the Star Wars movies, not all of them, but some of them, they give you an insight into where these characters came from, how they got to be where they were in the original Star Wars when we first met them. So this one covers Han Solo, which was originally played by Harrison Ford. We love Harrison Ford. And this time is played by, I always mess up this boy's name, Alden.
Enrich? Yeah.
It's like Emmerich.
I don't know. I think that's what it is. But Alden Enrich.
But this is the thing. I'll just call him Alden. So because I don't want to butcher that boy's last name. Alden, to me, was the perfect person to play Han Solo, because as the film went on, he started to kind of look like Harrison Ford to me a little bit. And he encompassed and embodied that cockiness, that arrogance, that charm that made us fall in love with the character in the first place when Harrison Ford was playing him. I really enjoyed all of that. I also enjoyed the fact that they began to began to let us see how Han and Chewie met, why they were, because in the first Star Wars, you're like, how is he able to communicate with this creature? Like, it was so random and vague.
Yes, right.
But now we know how they met, how they communicate, what Chewie's background is. And I'm like, Chewbacca been in all the Star Wars films. It was nice to see him get some love for once. I always feel like with these action movies that they're always like 15, 20 minutes too long.
Sure.
At some point, you know, it's always just a little too long at some point, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. Now, I know a lot of people that didn't like it, but I liked it. I loved it. And I thought it was fun. I remember in the original Star Wars that Han talked about Kira, and I always wonder who Kira was, what she looked like. Did she look better than Princess Leia? Was she as fierce and strong as Princess Leia? Like, who is this Kira person? And then we meet her and we find out, oh, she's a badass too. I kind of love that. I also love the fact that Woody Harrelson shows us straight up why we fall in love with him every time he shows up on the screen. The Woody Harrelson in Solo kind of is very reminiscent to me of the Woody Harrelson that we came to know on Cheers. He's got that swagger. He's got that crazy sense of humor. There are more things about it that I liked that I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that it was too long. I didn't like the villain in this one. He annoyed me. I didn't like the whole opening sequence with them just full on throttle jumping into the love story. I'm like, can we warm up into that? I know y'all don't have much time, but dag, can we just like warm up into it just a little bit? So that's what I think about it.
Star Wars for me, I mean, like you, I mean, growing up watching the original trilogy, as they're known now, even though they're 4, 5, and 6, you know, those were very iconic. You know, I've watched a lot of them. I even, being younger when episode 1, 2, and 3 came out, I didn't realize how boring and uneventful those movies were. I saw every one of those in the theater, and I think I had an appreciation for them to a degree. Like, I remember the first movie, I really liked the pod chase scene and whatnot, and you know, of course Yoda and the fight that happened, I think that was in the third one, and Darth Maul and all that stuff. Then Disney got their hands on Star Wars, and you know, everyone went crazy. They're like, yes, it's coming back, it's coming back. And then we got Force Awakens, and then we got Rogue One, and then we got Last Jedi, and now we have Solo, A Star Wars Story. Everyone's been talking about superhero movie fatigue. I'm Star Wars fatigued to death. Yes.
Well, I mean, okay, so I can kind of understand that because two of them came out in 1 year, and they usually give it to us like once a year or once every other year to give us time to kind of like get over the last one, but they didn't do that this time. So I can understand why you would have Star Wars fatigue this time.
So my problem with this is it kind of stems from the beginning, okay? So the original movies at the time were very unique. They were very different. There was nothing like them before. They were game changers in a lot of ways. And then when they did the prequels, you know, it focused more on like the politics. It wasn't as interesting. The characters weren't, you know, that lovable. The performances were kind of wooden. You know, people had criticism about that. Then J.J. Abrams brought us The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. And that was a movie that, because it seems so fresh and so new when I first originally saw it, mm-hmm. I had some issues with it, but I was kind of passive along the lines of like what I really didn't like about it.
Okay. And what was that?
I just felt like it was a complete rehash of the original trilogy. Like it's starting all over again, just with different characters, but the characters don't have as great of chemistry mm-hmm. with one another. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I felt it's very, and there's nothing wrong with this, so don't take this the wrong way, but it's very diversified for obvious reasons, because we live in a different time now and the way everything is.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the characters themselves were not nearly as interesting as the original characters.
Okay.
So as they continue the new trilogy, when they went into Last Jedi, I found myself going back into my review after thinking about it, and I'm knocking the score down, writing a couple more things that I didn't like about it. And I wound up starting off, I think, around like an 8 with that movie. It's down to a 6 for me.
Okay.
So, however, this is the interesting thing.
Okay.
When it went to Rogue One, when they did Rogue One, which starts pretty much, which leads up to The New Hope, I should say, which is episode 4, I was into that movie. Rogue One, I was into.
Okay.
And I really, really
liked Rogue One, too.
I really enjoyed that. Ben Mendelsohn in that film was terrific.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Well,
I enjoyed most of them. The Phantom Menace, not so much.
Yeah, The Phantom Menace, not too good. But I really liked Rogue One. So Solo was like that one where, like, immediately, I think even fans at this point were saying, like, do we really need this? Like, is it necessary? Is it necessary? And the answer to that is no. It is not necessary. But I will say that if I had to put out of the four new movies, I would put Rogue One as my number one, and then I would put this as my number two. Because I feel like at least this kind of had roots already in the Star Wars universe, mm-hmm. and I got to know about a character that I actually liked and I loved.
Okay, so we agree on that.
Yes, because yes.
That's what I enjoyed about it. I was like, oh, we get to know something more about him. And the other thing that I forgot about is those little, I don't know if they were dice or what they were that hang on.
Yeah, there. Yeah,
like,
the dice.
The origins of why he has that hanging in the Millennium Falcon, and how he got to the Millennium Falcon, and how him and Lando developed a relationship or a hatership, however you want to look at it, and why Lando wears these capes. Like, all of those things, it was really cool. And what was really cool about the way he cast it is that Donald Glover could easily look like he was Billy Dee Williams' son from that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he looks so much like him, and his energy is very charismatic and very... He was cocky. His character's kind of cocky, too. I don't recall if Billy Dee Williams's character was that cocky in the film. I don't think he was. But I love the fact that, you know, when you're younger, you are feeling yourself a little bit. So I like the fact that he played him a little more cocky, because as he gets older, and by the time we see him as Billy Dee Williams, he's chilled out a little bit, but not a whole lot. So that was kind of cool.
I mean, it's tough for me, because there were certain elements of this movie that I really enjoyed. Like you were talking about Han Solo and Chewbacca, that relationship was great. Lando as a character, I liked Donald Glover in this role. I I thought he did a great job. The only thing that I would criticize him a little bit about is, I don't know if you picked up on this. It was me and a few other people were picked up on this, and we seem to be the only one. That accent, that accent he had, the Lando accent, kind of faded in and out throughout the movie.
I didn't notice that as much.
Okay.
I didn't know.
Certain people did and certain people didn't.
Yeah, I didn't notice that as much. I didn't notice that as much. And, but now that you bring it up, I do recall that.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me. No.
I also want to say that, I'm actually disagreeing with the Woody Harrelson comparison, because mm-hmm. I felt this was very much a generic character for him. Like, yes, I can see the regards to the Cheers character,
yeah.
but I just felt like it was just one and done. And the problem with the movie as a whole is that there's no real sense of danger in this movie. There's no real, like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Because you know how it's going to play out. That's
right.
That's the bad thing about something like this.
But I think it's specifically designed that way, because the other ones were, there would always be an element of danger and a lot of action and stuff, because you didn't know what was going to happen in the universe as far as the fights between the rebels and the other people. You didn't know how that was quite going to turn out. This was particularly focused on that character Solo. So they were just telling us who he is, I think. And so that's why there wasn't a whole lot of big fanfare or danger or big promo things at the end.
And I think that's also why it felt so long. Because because there's no danger, because there's no real mystery. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few little like spoiler things that pop up along the way. There's a character from one of the prequels, that's all I'll say, that pops up. But that's it. Like there's not much like mystery or like shock or surprise. And the action sequences all seem kind of like underwhelming in a lot of ways. Like you expect more from this type of movie. And I felt like it was very much just, it was character driven, but in terms of the action, I feel like it kind of fell flat.
But I think it was supposed to be character driven. I think this particular one was supposed to be more character driven than anything else, particularly because it's called Solo. Like the other ones had different titles to them, like Rogue One, that led you to believe that it was going to be dealing with some planetary situation. Phantom Thread led you,
Phantom Menace. Yeah,
Phantom
yeah.
Menace. Why yeah. I say Phantom Thread? Phantom Menace.
Daniel
Day-Lewis stars in Star Wars. No. Phantom Menace, that you knew it was going to be some type of villain situation. So with this title, you know it's going to be about Han Solo. And you know that's just what it's going to be. And so if you are a huge Star Wars fan that really is invested in that story and the character-driven trajectory of who he is, where he came from, how he got to be where he was, then you're going to enjoy it. If not, if you're looking for a lot of action or, some teasers for the next one that's coming out, if there's going to be a next one, then you'll be like, womp, womp, womp. So, it just kind of depends.
I think it's, if you consider yourself a diehard Star Wars fan, I think this is, I'm still going to say it's filler. Without question, I'm going to say it's a filler film. But I think it works as a fan movie. It's just pure fanboy, fangirl, and I don't think if you were to watch this movie not seeing other Star Wars movies, I don't think it would kind of like make you into a fan. That's the way I would kind of set this movie up.
I don't know about that. I disagree with you on
you
that.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know about that.
All right.
I think people would enjoy it. Like I said, it's a little too, sometimes it's just a little too long, like 20, 30 minutes too long. But other than that, I think that they would enjoy it. But you mentioned something being a filler. You know what's not a filler?
What?
That podcast that drops on Fridays. That podcast that drops on Fridays on iTunes called Conversations with Maria Menounos with our AfterBuzz founder, Maria Menounos. It drops every Friday on iTunes. She talks about celebrity and influencer interviews, secrets and tips on how to be better in life, health, wellness, career, relationships, finances, and so much more. She is dropping it all on iTunes and letting you in on the fun. So let our Maria be the big sister that you always wanted. And when you get over there, let her know that Scott Menzel and Carla Renata from Black Tomatoes at Black Hollywood Live sent you over there. And, you know, give her those 5 stars. Talk a little bit about us. Say that we sent you over there. And, you know, give us some love. Don't be sending hateration out in the world. But check out Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition every Friday, dropping on iTunes. I wanted to talk a little bit about... Oh, before we talk anymore, let's just, since we've talked so much about Solo, yes, Star Wars, yes, Story, let's show a little bit of the trailer real quick.
Your friend Han can do what needs to be done.
I believe he can.
We will make it.
If you do fail me, we'll all be out of options. You know who I answer to.
I waited a long time for a shot like this. I'm not afraid.
You know what it's like to live with the price on your head?
You'd spend the rest of your life looking over your shoulder.
Well, I think that went great.
Solo, a Star Wars story, rated PG-13.
And let's just talk about the fact that it must have been very daunting for that young man to take over that role.
Because, oh, yes.
Because, I mean, Han Solo is one of the most beloved characters in the Star Wars franchise. So if you take on that character and you suck, that you will never be able to live that down.
It's also a new Chewie, too.
Oh, it is a new Chewie.
It's a new Chewie, too.
Okay, because I thought he was in a couple of other ones.
No. It's a new Chewie.
Okay. Well, I'm just glad that they all got some props and that it all kind of worked out.
I mean, it kind of, you know, it's funny that the reason why I decided to, like, not talk about this last week was that Star Wars actually ties into our other part of this conversation, which is the Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend, yes. Yeah.
So Star Wars, most of the Star Wars movies, at least the original three, opened on Memorial Day weekend, which is kind of fitting that this one is opening on Memorial Day weekend. So we thought it would be fun just to kind of do a brief, like, overview of, you know, some of the movies that we thought were like the best and the worst in terms of releases. And I'm not talking
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you right now, the best release on Memorial Day weekend ever for me was Independence Day.
I would agree with that.
That is the best one ever. And then right behind that one, I would say it would be, I would say Mission Impossible.
Yep.
I love Mission Impossible. I would say, I don't know about Sex and the City, too.
No, Sex and the City would probably be one of the weaker ones. That's for sure.
I don't know about that one.
I would say for me, I love the Pirates franchise. Pirates of the Caribbean. At World's End and Dead Man's Tell No Tales both came out.
Yeah, they did. They did come out about this time of year. They sure did. The other two Star Wars did, too. A New Hope and Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
You talked about Return of the Jedi. Braveheart.
How do you feel about Braveheart? Now, this is before controversy happens.
I have no feelings about Braveheart. None whatsoever. No feelings whatsoever about Braveheart. But I do have lots of feelings about Fast and Furious. I really like that franchise.
You do?
I do. I like the
Still?
Fast, I do.
Okay.
I like the Fast and Furious. I mean, you know when you see Fast and Furious, it's going to be cars. Somebody going to die. Somebody going to fall out of a car. It's going to be, you know what it is. It's like whenever you go see a sequel of any film, you know going into it that there's going to be elements of the original which made you like it and made them make a bazillion dollars in the first place. So you're like, ooh, okay, I want to see that again. Beverly Hills Cop, I love that.
Two and three.
They both open, but that third one, That third one, not so much.
Yeah.
I didn't like that third one. That second one, though, it was hot.
Yeah. I will say one of my, and I know this movie freaking bombed at the box office, and you might not even know it, but Drop Dead Fred to me was like something that I watched. I know most people. Did you like Spy Hard? That's another one that I love.
I can't with that. And I'm gonna tell you what else I couldn't with.
Okay.
Soul Plane. Oh my god.
Oh my
worst
god.
Movie
Thank
of
you
all
for bringing
time.
Up. I think the, that's the worst
the
movie
worst
ever.
The worst movie of all time to ever hit a screen, let alone a Memorial Day weekend.
Oh
I was
my.
Like,
that
oh
movie
my god.
Is so bad.
That movie was like, it like, for lack of a better way to say it, it just like took black people back, like, I don't even know how many decades. It just, I couldn't.
The character's name.
It was so horrible.
Were Mr. and Mrs. Honky. Like, who the hell came up with that? Like,
it was a Kevin Hart film.
No,
that was a Kevin Hart
film. Really?
Yes, that was a Kevin Hart film. That was like his first big movie, I think. And it was hilarious. Because
it was Snoop Dogg flying the plane high, which is like,
Kevin Hart. And Kevin Hart talks about this all the time. He thought that he had made it. You know, he had that TV show on the air where my friend Yvette Nicole Brown played his sister. He had that on the air, and Soul Plane was coming out, and he thought he was all that in a bag of chips. Soul Plane got the worst reviews ever, and then he came back to find out that his show had been canceled. Like, that was not a good week for him at all.
I did not even know that was his first movie.
That was, I think, And somebody in the chat room or watching the show can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was his first feature film, and it was really ratchet. It was ratchet. I can't believe that Enough is like one of the worst. I liked Enough. That's a Jennifer Lopez film.
Well, no,
right?
I mean that's your opinion. If you think Enough,
you're like, look, listen, you can like that film all you want.
You
could
like it. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was just my opinion on that sheet. You can say you loved a Jennifer Lopez movie where she kicks the crap out of her husband. Enjoy it.
You know what? I was just saying.
I thought it was a great comedy.
Oh, wow. There's nothing funny about that,
Scott.
That movie
was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
That is hilarious.
That is not a comedy. But what I will say about Jennifer Lopez is I love her in comedies. I was watching her in The Wedding Planner came on the other night.
Matthew McConaughey.
And I'm like, I love her in rom-coms. I love her in rom-coms. I wish she would make more of them. I loved her in that one that she did with Jane Fonda. What was that one called? Remember the one where she played the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law?
It was Monster-in-law.
Monster-in-law.
Thank you, Marissa. Yep. Monster-in-law. Girl, she's funny down in Monster-in-law. And Jane Fonda and Wanda Sykes were hilarious in that, too.
Well, I also think it's funny you brought up some sequels that were not very good on this weekend.
Scott.
No, on this. No, you said Beverly Hills 3. But
oh,
I would
no,
also want
not.
To say that, you know, the worst Back to the Future movie also came out Memorial Day weekend, part 3.
Yeah, that was the worst one ever. That was pretty bad, too. And then another one that was really bad was those Hangover sequels.
Oh, no.
And Baywatch. First of all, let's talk about the fact that I barely watched Baywatch as a TV series. Why would I go spend $20? Why would I go spend $50? Because by the time I buy the movie ticket and get some popcorn, some candy, and a soda, it's like $50 almost now. Why would I spend that kind of money on Baywatch the movie? I'm not, and I didn't. I'm like,
that whole situation with that movie was comedic because
it was horrible.
Because I went to see that at a press screening, and it turned out that it wasn't a press screening; it was actually a fan screening. And like, there was like no laughs to be had from anyone in that theater. And you know, that was when Dwayne, his publicist should have told him not to do that. Because I don't remember if you remember this. This is where he went on Twitter and he was attacking critics because they said, oh, how dare you say this movie's not good? And he like was attacking people. He was attacking people and saying, it's for the fans. It's not for you. And that is the most laziest thing, too. I hate that argument because I agree. There are movies that are made for the fans or they're like Star Wars movies are made for fans.
They're
made for the fans.
Yeah, they are.
But who the hell is a fan of Baywatch? Like the people who watched the show in the 80s and the 90s?
There were the little boys that were fans of Baywatch were the ones that used to like to watch the girls run across the beach in their swimsuit.
Right.
I'm just
which there was like, why? Which in this movie, they didn't even freaking do that. You know,
I
and
can't.
It was all like male sexualized humor. It was
I can't
very
with that.
Strange.
Another movie that opened on Memorial Day weekend that was really horrible was Made in America with Ted Danson
and
Whoopi
Goldberg.
And you know, I love me some Whoopi Goldberg to the moon and back, but that was horrendous. I hate it. Hey, I think Nia Long was in that movie too. That was the worst movie ever.
Ever. Yes. You know what? Another one was really bad, and I love Matthew Broderick, and I know you have
Matthew
too, but Addicted to Love with him and Meg Ryan, that was a womp womp. That was a very big womp womp.
It surely was. But to end it on a high note, one movie that did open on Memorial Day weekend that I really loved was Backdraft with Kurt Russell.
Oh my God.
The bomb!
That one set the bar. Like, that's why I don't think there was as many firefighter movies, because like that one set that bar so high that this last one that came out, Only the Brave, was like the only film that I felt ever almost achieved the same level as Backdraft.
That was the bomb. So, in closing this episode out, episode 14 of Black Tomatoes,
right?
Let's How many stars would you give Solo? How many tomatoes would you give Solo?
Three.
I give Solo 4.5 stars. Oh, 4.5 tomatoes. Black tomatoes. I love Solo. So next week, I hope, well, not next week, but I hope you guys had a wonderful and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend. We will see you next week, hopefully, the Lord willing.
Yep.
And
Episode 15.
Episode 15. Yep. We will be back. And who knows what we'll be talking about, but we will let you know ahead of time. We hope so. I'm Carla Renata. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can also find my written version of any reviews we talk about on Black Tomatoes right there. And where can we find you?
You can find me on weliveentertainment.com. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at The Other Scott M. If you want to friend me on Facebook, go to facebook.com/MovieManMenzel. Thank you so much.
And a quick shout out to Serenity Q, I think it's 26. You always engage us in the chat room. You always say what's up. You always give your opinion. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for watching Black Tomatoes. Tell your friends. All right, that is it for this episode of Black Tomatoes on Black Hollywood Live. We will see you next week.
See you soon.
Deuces.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined!
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.